Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
States scrambling to meet a collective $1 trillion shortfall in their public pension plans might be looking to Little Rhode Island. Independent Governor Lincoln Chafee and the democratically controlled legislature joined forces to push through the biggest pension cutback in the country after facing a $7 billion funding gap. The cuts raise retirement ages for most public workers to 67, freezes cost of living raises for retirees, and redesigns the way new pension funds are invested. In heavily union and heavily Democratic Rhode Island, these changes amount to heresy, and a court battle is likely. Rhode Island State Treasurer Gina Raimondo spearheaded the pension reform plan, and she joins us from Providence with more. Gina, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Robin.
And you're getting both credit and a lot of heat. You know, the head of the state's largest public employee union, this is Michael Downey, says he's not going to vote for people who've stripped him of a pension. Others are saying it's like, I read a quote somewhere, you've paid your 30-year mortgage, and suddenly you're told you have 10 more to go. You know, it's sort of like moving the goalposts. You say what to these people?
Well, you know, it's interesting you say, is it about credit or blame? This was just something that had to be done. There really was no other choice. When I took office, Rhode Island had a pension system that was 48% funded. We had among the highest unfunded liability per capita. Our actuaries were telling us that we were in a situation where the pension fund could run out of money in 25 to 30 years. And, you know, I don't think anyone wanted to make the changes that we made, but we had to do it. And, look, the sacrifice is involved. You know, for example, we're asking retirees to hold off on annual raises. The next raise won't be for at least 5 years, and that's a sacrifice, and we have to recognize that. However, if we had done nothing, what I worried about is there would be no pension for people, and that was a situation that we just had to repair. There was no choice.
Well, you say there was no other choice, but what about taxes? What about raising taxes on the wealthy in the state?
That's an excellent question. And the pension this fiscal year, approximately 10% of our state tax revenue went into the pension. And in a few years, absent reform, that number was going to be over 20%. So you couldn't raise taxes enough in order to pay for this. What was happening and what will continue to happen is a crowding out of other vital services, bus service, libraries, schools. This was a necessary step to shore up the pensions, but also make sure we could invest in our future.
Why did this happen? You know, we spoke to a Bloomberg News reporter about pension reform across the country, and he said, yes, there's this bubble of baby boomers coming into the system, but the main reason so many pension accounts are in dire straits is that states didn't do what they were supposed to do, which is pay into them, keep them funded. Instead, they borrowed that money. Did Rhode Island do that?
No. The state of Rhode Island has made its annual required contribution every single year, with the exception of 1 year in the early 90s, and we've since been making that up. So the reason that we were in the situation we were in is a combination of factors. There were several times in the past where the state's retirement board went against the advice of actuaries. That, over time, led to problems. But the other fact is we just had one of the most generous pension systems in the nation. You know, I have huge sympathy for public employees and retirees. They did nothing wrong. The problem is the system was poorly designed and fundamentally unaffordable, and that's why we had to fix it.
Well, we're here in neighboring Massachusetts, so we're well aware of the questions about, you know, whether public workers should be retiring in their 50s. You now in your state have, as we said, raised the age to 67. Are you making any exceptions? I mean, aren't there some public workers, you know, a fireman whose back's been thrown out after, you know, 20 years of work? Aren't there some people who it's not fair to ask them to wait till 67?
Yes, absolutely. So public safety and prison correctional officers, the retirement age is 55.
And then for those coming into the system, you've got this new, it's a hybrid 401k system. And we know 401ks are where workers participate. They put money in, as do employers, but then it gets invested. So you sort of, you know, some people think it's kind of risky, again, as opposed to the old-fashioned pensions that just pay out. How does this new one work?
So what we have instituted is it's a combination, as you say, old-fashioned pension benefit and then a defined contribution. Retirement security is the goal. We don't want our valued public employees to be poor upon retirement.
Well, especially since the state will have to pay for that, too. You know,
correctly.
If you have,
right. And it's just the right thing to do. You know, I mean, I think we have a crisis of retirement security in this country. The average 401k plan of a person in their 60s in the private sector in America is much less than $100,000. That's not retirement security. So what we've said is, in the new system, about 40% of your final average pay will come from a old-fashioned pension, and then on top of that is a defined contribution. But I do want to point out, it's not really a 401k that we've designed. The legislation was designed to make sure that this was more secure than a traditional 401k. And our goal in doing this was, if you work a full career for the state of Rhode Island or one of our cities and you retire, you can expect between 70 and 80% of your final average pay in retirement income.
Well, and there are non-public workers who would salivate at that, and that's the debate. You also passed a first-in-the-country law saying that bondholders, not public employees, will have first right to tax dollars if a city goes bankrupt. It's an important consideration. You've already had a city go bankrupt in Rhode Island, Central Falls. And we know there's somewhat of a cautionary tale there. Very different situation. The city is very different from the state situation, but it did go bankrupt. And we understand that some of the public workers there got nothing.
That's right. You know, and Robin, that is what I think motivated us in Rhode Island to move forward with these bold pension changes. Because in our backyard right now, we have public retirees from the city of Central Falls, people in their 70s, 80s, they are being asked to have a 50% cut in their pension benefit. And so that's what we have to avoid. And the sad reality is, this is math, not politics. You know, our system had a $7 billion unfunded liability. So the entire state tax revenue of our state is about $3 billion. And we were never going to be able to make those pension payments that people were counting on. And I believed it was dishonest to let them think we were. And so it was time to make a change.
Gina Raimondo, Rhode Island State Treasurer. Treasurer Raimondo, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.